the Treasury boss hit back today at critics who say his department's economic forecasts in the budget were too optimistic. In his traditional post-budget speech to economists, Ken Henry defended the prediction of a return to above-trend economic growth within 2 years. He's got the backing of the Reserve Bank chief Glenn Stevens. He argued today that Chinese demand for Australian exports could save this country from the worst of the downturn. Dr. Henry rejected claims that big personal tax cuts over 8 years were unsustainable and had left a hole in the budget. He also dismissed those who say the Rudd government won't be able to rein in spending. Economics correspondent Stephen Long.
For 8 years now, Ken Henry's given the post-budget speech to economists as the head of Treasury. And in that time, few federal budgets have had such a sceptical, even hostile response. Today, Dr. Henry all but conceded it hasn't been sold well.
When the country's best communicator of economic material, and of course here I'm referring to our friend Ross, confesses that, and I'll quote, "This is the most puzzling back-to-front budget I can remember," it's clear that we have a communications problem.
The Ross he's referring to is Ross Gittins, the long-time economics editor of the Sydney Morning Herald. He dubbed this one the budget that brings home the confusion.
Some budgets speak for themselves, I guess. This one apparently does not.
Perhaps because it has not one but three narratives: fiscal stimulus to combat recession, charting a path out of deficit, and ways to meet the fiscal challenge of an ageing population. Although he conceded it wasn't an easy budget to explain, the Treasury boss was clearly irritated by what he saw as the inability of some in the media and the commentariat to get it.
This is storytelling of extraordinary complexity. And while it hasn't tested Ross, it clearly has exceeded the reading age of many.
But even the economically literate came in for a serve. There was, again, a note of irritation as he attacked the way in which economists and commentators have questioned the budget forecasts for economic growth.
What's most interesting about these arguments I have found is that they're often accompanied by extensive quoting of our own material published in Budget Statement 4. It's as if we must have failed to take account of our own analysis. Yet others seem to think that we must have simply plucked the numbers out of the air. I'm going to tell you what we actually did. It's a little complicated, but I know it's not too complicated for this audience.
And he did, in great detail. Ken Henry's famous for his theory of the three P's behind economic growth: productivity, participation, and population growth. He set out a chart to show why he reckons the three P's alone should produce above-trend economic growth within a couple of years. The Reserve Bank has a similar view. Much is being made in Canberra today about this comment by the Reserve Bank boss Glenn Stevens.
Exactly when that is and by how much, no one can really know at this point. But I don't think it's crazily optimistic to expect that that will occur at some stage. Now, beyond that, I don't want to comment in detail about particular forecasts because this is 3, 4, 5 years ahead.
That's being read as a criticism of the budget estimates. Yet Glenn Stevens went on today to say this.
As I read the forecasts, I think that those forecasts that are in the budget are not materially different to the two-year horizon that we have ourselves.
For the record, just like Treasury, the Reserve Bank reckons that Australia will be back to above-trend economic growth by 2011. So what about the deficit and debt and government spending? Critics dismiss the budget projections of very modest growth in government spending as heroic. But Ken Henry reckons they're using the wrong point of comparison: the last 7 years of the Howard government, when the manna from the mining boom made for huge budget surpluses and big spending.
Putting aside the 1970s, there simply is no other growth cycle in the historical tables to the budget that shows such a rapid rate of growth in real government spending.
After the recessions of the 1980s and 1990s, he says, the federal government could and did rein in spending to cut the deficit, and it can this time round too. This passionate defence of the federal budget raises an obvious question, one put to Ken Henry today by the aforementioned Ross Gittins. Is the Treasury independent?
Strictly, of course, we're not. The Treasury Department is a Department of State. It is part of the executive government. It works to the government of the day, whatever the political persuasion of the government of the day. And so in that sense, of course, the Treasury is not independent from government, and it can never behave as if it is independent from government. But there's another sense in which it does have a degree of independence, and that is that the Treasury conducts its analysis without government interference. It's up to the government of the day to decide whether to accept that analysis or whether to reject that analysis.
That's an economist's answer for you. On the one hand, yes. On the other hand, no.
Stephen Long.